I see that there is a lot of new faces around here, which is great. That means a healthy church. That means we're getting out. And so a couple of things, if you don't know me, a couple of things quickly. I have been told that I could ramble on some things. So I know you guys have lunches. I know have some plans. We'll try to get through this as fast as possible. But a couple of things. One is I was born here in Stanton, if nobody knows that. Scott and Sue, my parents. And so in high school years, so I love my family. Loved them to death. Couldn't actually have a better family. And we would go to church enough to know who God is and who Jesus is. And so, I knew that. I was confirmed in our church. And throughout my high school years, I knew of a God, but it never clicked. Like, it never truly clicked that there is a Jesus that actually pays for the dumb things I do, right? Like he paid for those sins and wants to walk with me right now. I never understood that through being confirmed through, and that really actually is just the Lord. What just wasn't my time. I'm kind of understanding that now at the moment. It just really wasn't my time. But in those moments, let me just be brutally honest with you guys. You know me. In my high school years to college years, I married my high school sweetheart, Rachel Player, now Burtwistle. But in those moments, I went the way of the world. I went and did all the things really the world kind of told me, what my friends kind of told me. And it wasn't until I found Jesus, which was after I had a couple of kids. I was already married. It wasn't until I found Jesus came and got me. I was not looking for him. Came and got me. And if you guys want to know more about that, that's all I can really say now. But if you want to know more, come and tell me. I'll give you the specifics. But he came and got me. And two things happened right away. Right away. I believed in the Bible. I believed in the Word. And the very next day, like I just had a fire to that I believed in it. I no longer went to a Amigos and made fun of people who are in Bible study. Like, I remember doing that. I remember calling them names because they were studying God's Word. Like, that changed right away. The second thing that changed right away is I had this fire. Like, I had this fire to want to know Jesus. I knew something was changed, and that was now the Holy Spirit that was inside of me was giving me this fire to know. Where your church comes in is I was at a point in time where I wanted to know. Like, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more about what I just did, and I wanted to know about this Jesus. And your church walked me through it. Like, your church helped not only me, but my family walk through, because that's not all. Like, that's not what we're here to do, is just commit and then wait till we die. Like, that's not what we're here for. We're here to do God's work, to do Jesus' work that he says he prepares before we even were on this world. So how do we know what God wants us to do unless we know, one, his word, and two, we're praying with him every day. Like, in every step, we're with him, right? So that's kind of my overall message, to try to see where this thing is going. Know that I love getting into God's Word. I want this to be about God's Word. And so I want, know that I kind of take a different approach, is I'm going to go through, we got a lot of verses I want to go through. So we're going to go through the verses, and I'm going to kind of break it out in sections. And so as we go through, I'll kind of give those application points inside those sections. So just know, church, that when I get through the 19 verses, there's no, like, that is the application point. So if you're timing yourself, you're on, you're like, man, this thing is going to get long. Like, just know when we get through the verses, like it's done. Like, I've already got through it. So just be careful there. So let's jump in. We're going to get into 2 Kings chapter 5. Good, kind of quick, as you flip there or turn there. I had a message kind of already prepared. We did this in our men's Bible study, and the Lord just really hit me with it. And actually, that was just at the time, David, you called me. So it was kind of the Lord saying, I think this is really what I want you to share at the church. I also know that you guys get really good teaching here, really, really good teaching here. So I like to say I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to teach you anything. I know I'm not going to teach you anything. What I'm hoping is I just encourage you in what God has for you today. So my whole hope and goal is, as you walk out that door, you have something from the Lord that you can take that applies to your life right now. And so that's what's great about this story, is you have a lot of different characters. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, we are going to start at verse 1, and we're going to go through 1 through 19, as it says on the board. And so, like I said, I'm going to break this apart and kind of stop in the middle of this. But before we go, let's just, again, I just need to kind of pray and kind of settle myself here in a second. So, Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you that we can come before you, open up your word that you've given to us, and that we expect that you are going to speak through your word to us right now. Father, we ask that your spirit would come upon us right now. I do know that there is so many things hitting us here in this room. So many cares, so many anxieties, so much busyness. Father, I want to take an opportunity for everyone just to pause, for everyone just to cast those cares on you, as you say. Just to give those things up to you and allow your peace that transcends all understanding to take hold. So, Father, we trust that you heard each of us individually. That's what you say. You say you hear our prayers individually. And, Father, we know that you hear our prayers collectively as a church. And we just ask, as we open up your word, your servants are listening right now. May you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, that helped. Okay. All right, so let's just start in verse 1, and we'll go through just the first 5 verses here. Naaman, commander of the army and of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl with the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, "Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So we'll stop there just for a second. So we got to kind of take a step back and ask, well, what's going on here? So there's always this conflict going on with Syria and Israel. Like, there's just this conflict going on. You get the sense now that Israel is not as powerful as they once were. You could go through the Old Testament and go through the kings and understand why, with all the different kings that show up and the separation. And so there's a lot of things going on in Israel, but they're not following the Lord real well at this moment. And so interesting thing here, and one thing to point out, is when we have this character named Naaman, he is a pagan. Like they don't believe in God. And in there you see some qualities that he has, right? He's a great man. He's a master of high favor. What's right after that? Because the Lord had given him victory. One thing that we need to know is that's a great kind of thing for us, that the Lord is involved over everything. He is sovereign over everything. And so his plan is going to be worked out regardless. And he's using pagans, he's using unbelievers to accomplish some of his goals. And so that's interesting part about the mighty man of valor. We don't have time to really go into that, but that is a specific reference, the same reference that is used with David and his men, and it's here as well. This is really the only time you kind of see this from a pagan or unbelieving standpoint that I could see, so please fact check me on that. Again, I'm not a preacher. I am a lay person. So fact check me on that one. So you see there, God is in this, and you have this character, Naaman, who, by all accounts, has everything. Like, he's got success. He's very good at what he does. Obviously, he's now the top commander in this army. And so he's got all this. He's got one problem. Leprosy. He's got one problem that he knows he cannot control with all of his strength, with all of his might, with everything that he has. There's a problem that he cannot deal with. And so if you know anything about leprosy, I don't have time to go into a lot of that, but it's a disease that's uncurable. And this time, actually, it's kind of a disease. I did a little research. It's still uncurable. There is certain things you can do to slow it down, but in today's age. But in this case, it was actually meant, back in this day, it was a lot of times meant for sin, and you kind of were ostracized from your community, so you kind of were pushed away. You get the sense here, he's still talking to people. So it either hasn't progressed to a point, or there's different forms, if you kind of dig into this a little bit, of leprosy. But this is more of a skin disease. But he's still at the point where he can't do anything about it. Like, you just can't do anything about it. I do want to point out the little servant girl. Because this is a girl who was taken from her home, forced to serve someone. Current situation she's in is not by her choice, right? And yet, we don't know if there's time that has passed, and I kind of want to bring that out just as a question to kind of mull over this and research, but like, you don't know if there's time passed, because I think sometimes we see some of these things that happen with certain characters, and we're like, yeah, see, they got so much faith. We don't know, like, and I'm not that way. Like, so, man, they are faithful. Like, I'm not that way. You don't know if there's time that has passed for her to work through maybe some things and or be in service for a while before this happens. But God used that and her situation and actually the sins of someone else for her to then speak up and start the process of bringing Naaman to the Lord. And so if we put ourselves in that situation, how do we put ourselves in that situation? It's probably the better kind of question. So as I mulled this one over, and I was kind of thinking of in my life, and again, I'm going to get honest here. In my life, there became a time when I found Jesus. I was walking with him. I thought everything was going to be great. Like, man, you hear, like, I'm walking with the Lord now. Like, things are going to go great, you know, and he's just going to provide this peace that transcends all understanding. And it wasn't until later that I started to realize, one, my sin, the sins that I caused, and how it affected the people that I loved, but then also sins against me was another thing that got me. And so, in this case, I got so angry, to a point where I went through some depression as a believer. Like, I went through some depression because I was so angry that God would allow things to happen. He knew. Like, one, why would he allow me to do that? Like, almost like I was getting upset with God that I was sinning. And then also, I got upset that others were sinning against me. And I couldn't deal with it. Like, I couldn't deal with it. It affected my marriage. It affected my family. Like, it affected everything. And so, I had a friend that came to me and at this moment in time, and he said, Luke, I laid it out to him. I laid all the gory details that I probably won't share here. I say probably because who knows. But I laid it all out, and he looked at me and he said, great, wonderful man. He said, you got to drive a stake in the ground. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he goes, you have to. Do you believe that Jesus paid the penalty for those bad things you did? Do you believe that? And I said, well, yeah, I wouldn't be here. Like, yes, of course. Do you believe that he paid the penalty for those who sinned against you? That one, I had to think a little bit, like, okay. You know, because I wanted justice. Why? Like, come on. And so I wanted it. And so I had to, step one, if anybody is in that situation, I'll just tell you what worked for me. If anybody's in that situation right now where you just can't deal with it, like you, and relationships are being severed and you just can't deal with it, I had to go back to God's word and find a promise. And so I physically wrote it all out and crumpled it up, put it in a piece of paper and burned it just so I could say that was my stake. But then after that, I found a promise. And when those lies came to me, when those, just that anger came to me, I said God's word. I said God's word. And the first time I did it, didn't help. Let's be honest. First time, yeah, it did help enough to where I was now focused, but man, like it just didn't help. Second time I did it, third, fourth, 100, 200, 300. Like every time I just decided, if you're faithful, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I said. I said, you cast out my sins, you cast out their sins as far as the east is from the west. Like I just said that over and over again. And eventually it got to the point where when I saw the person, because even now, like, they don't necessarily know that I know. Like, they don't necessarily even know the sins. Like, we've never even had that conversation. But when I see the person, I'm praying for them. Like, I am praying. And I have this love. I have this love that I just want everyone to know. I want them to know the saving, the life of Jesus, the life that Jesus Christ gives in the midst of all that we have. So that was really long for just the little servant girl, but that, if you guys get nothing out of this, just know that Jesus knows. Jesus knows what is going through, and sometimes it's just one step. It's just that stake, one step to find a promise, to find the truth, and see what God does through that. So, on to we're moving along. What time is it? So verse 6. So he went talking with him 10 talents of silver. Oh, sorry. He went taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." So here you get a picture of the kings at this point in time, and really the king's kind of where he's at, really. Because in this, now you have this character king. He doesn't even, you never see him actually come to the Lord with this. So he takes this letter, and his initial reaction is fear. His initial reaction is what he can understand, not what the Lord is doing. You never see him go. So his initial reaction is all just based out of fear. Well, what is he? Am I God? Like, interestingly enough, this is the only fact check me, you guys. Because, again, but I could not find, and actually Jesus even says in Luke 4, I believe, where he says, there are many who are lepers, but only Naaman was healed. So Jesus even talks about this scenario. So what faith is going on here with the servant girl? And then now the lack of faith you see, but you can kind of understand from the king's perspective of his thought around this, because he's never actually seen, what I've seen recorded at the moment, he's never actually seen somebody be healed yet. So he's saying, "Well, what is it like? He just really wants to fight me. Like, this is kind of a joke. He wants to fight me." And so put ourselves in that situation from the king's perspective. If you haven't ever seen anything, if you haven't really seen the power of God, our natural response is kind of what we, if you don't have a relationship, our natural response is kind of what we know. And so that's kind of what I was, as I kind of, again, thought through this just in this section, I naturally went to my life and thought, well, how many times am I doing that? Like, how many times throughout the day, with all of the stresses going on, with all the busyness, with all the things you have to get to even, all the things that are demanding time, how many times am I actually going to the Lord in the midst of the things that he's given me in the day? Very little, at least at this time. There's so busyness, and I'll just be honest, like, just so much busyness. Well, I got it. Like, I know I got to go to this basketball game. I know I got to meet this person. I know I got this meeting. And so I'm still in the Word in the mornings. I'm still praying and in the Word at night. But how much am I really dependent on him now? And just in my day-to-day stuff? Very little. So I had to even, it helped me to understand where the king was coming from here. Like, yeah, I'm probably in the same boat. Like, I would probably do the exact same thing. If something weird and just came to me, I would go by based off of what I knew and not necessarily take the time to petition the Lord. So let's go now, jump into, continue down through. So he went taking with, I read that one, right? So he went taking the time? Yeah, we're on verse 8. Yes, thank you. But when Elisha, Elijah comes, the prophet, not to be confused with Elijah, this is Elisha. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash at the Jordan seven times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. I'm starting to become way over time, so I'm going to kind of get, but so much in this. Like, it's just, it's crazy how much is in this. But so now you have Naaman kind of doing his thing, right? Like, I get all of my stuff, and there's millions of dollars and I'm going to go get healing now. And so you see kind of what's happening here in the sense of he's got his entourage. Like, he's packing up his stuff. He's getting all his entourage. Obviously, if you're the top commander, when you go someplace, people are going to know. Like, so he's got that going for him. So he's packing everything up. And interesting enough, as soon as he gets there and he says, what does Elisha do? He doesn't even meet him. And did you notice that? He doesn't even meet him. He sends a messenger. He sends a messenger over to tell Naaman what to do. And so it's just like, hey, the messenger just comes out. He's got this whole entourage. It's been a long journey for him. And not only, he doesn't get anything. He just gets the messenger. And the messenger's like, just go wash over there and you're fine. So I wonder how Naaman is going to take that. Let's keep reading. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the river of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman, of course, has pride. That was the part of the prayer that you just had. But his first response is a response of pride. And God is actually using all this situation, everything that's going on, to get rid of some of those prideful thoughts he has. So you see his response is, well, why am I coming all the way here when he's not even going to meet me? I could have done that right next to the water, right next to me. Like, why do I need to go here? Why do I need this whole journey? In fact, if you do any kind of research on the Jordan River, from what I found, I've never been to Israel, but if anybody has, it's not the cleanest water. Like, and it's not like this big, all great river. Like, it's kind of a little stream. I mean, it's a dirty water. So he's like, well, I could have, if you want me to be washed, I could have done that over my own. I have cleaner water over where I'm at. So it's a good kind of step for us to take a step back and say, how are we? Where are we at in our pride, in the way that we respond to things? Like, where are we at with that? All right, so let's continue on. Then he returned to the man of God, he and his company. Oh, wait, did I skip one? Oh, yeah, so he's washed. But, oh, good point, though, thank you. So I forgot the whole point, right? He actually did do, because his servant came to him. His servant said, hey, like, why not just try it? Like, we already came this way. Didn't he say, go wash? Like, all you got to do is go wash and be clean. So it was his servant. Again, you humbling Naaman. Are you going to listen to somebody who really has no business? I mean, like, that's in that context, has no business talking to you. So he's using his servants for this. And he says, okay, I'll do it. And can you imagine Naaman at that point in time? like actually being there, going in the first time, like going in the second time. He doesn't want to be there anyway. And like he already thinks it's dumb, right? So he's continuing, goes all six, and then the very seventh time, restored. Like restored. Like how that would have been not only to Damon, but everyone around him at that time when that happens. And we'll see his response. So in verse 15, when he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is not a God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he says, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any god but to the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself to the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." And he said to him, "Go in peace." So I just want to finish up on this little section here. Because Naaman, I think his heart is in the right kind of spot. It's not like a transactional. Like, I don't think he has that, "I got to have this transaction" anymore. I think he saw what just happened to him, realizing that there is a God. And in that context, there's so many different gods. And really, you know, gods of earth, gods of sun, like there's so many different gods. And we're in a great state now in the New Testament where the Spirit comes into our heart and lives with us. That's not happening in this stage right now. So God used people and Israel to point people to God, to him. And so I think his heart was in the right spot of, "I need to do something for this Lord. Like, I need to do something." Not out of obligation, but because of what the Lord did for him. And so that's what he's trying to do here is, well, take the stuff. Like, take the stuff. And I love the end piece. He now recognizes the things that he is doing are wrong. And he offers this as, hey, like the king has to take, as part of my position, the king has to take me into his temple, into this false god's temple, and I have to bow down. That's not me. Like he's saying this. That's now not me. But what do you say? And love the response, "Go in peace." Go. Like, I put you there. I knew you were going to be there. And I want to finish up just with this as far as where we are at today and where we're at right now. We do talk in our Christian circles. We do talk a lot about Jesus, which that should be the main point of what we talk about, is Jesus. And so I know, recognize right now, there's probably people that have been followers of Jesus for a long time and have seen Jesus work in their life and walk for a very, very long time. And if you're kind of in this mode of just, what's the point? Or I'm tired, you know, or just like, I don't see God working like I used to be. That's kind of like where I'm kind of at the moment. It's like, man, like that fire, I want that fire back. And so if you're in that moment, like, no, Jesus, as I said before, Jesus has your plans laid out. And it actually is a reason why we go through these ups and downs. But Jesus says he will never leave or forsake us. So have that promise in your mind of when those lies hit you as a true believer in Christ. Because what you do, like I said before, what you do matters. Like, the reason I'm here is because of all of you. Like, you poured into my life at the moment. If you've are at a position where you have accepted Jesus, but you're just not sure what to do next, like, maybe you're a little bit of a newer believer, or you kind of always just, like me, had this thought of, I accepted Jesus, so I'm done. Like, yes, I get eternal life. Woo. And then you just kind of wait, like, okay, well, now what? If you're in that spot, we've all been in that spot. I was in that spot. One, just reach out. Like, you don't have to do anything by yourself. You have wonderful elders here. You have wonderful people, community of believers that just want to help, regardless of what you're going through, whether that is a sin problem, whether that is just kind of mundane life problems, whether it does not matter. I know your elders. I know this church. They have a heart for you and will not condemn, will not judge, nothing. Like, they just want to help. And the way they helped me was just pointing me back to the Bible, pointing me back to Jesus, praying with me. So if you're in that spot, don't listen to the evil one that says you have to do it yourself. Come. Just come. And then finally, go in peace, right? And then finally, if you are at the position I was, where you've heard this before, right? Like, and I heard it so many times, but it never clicked. Like, it just never clicked. Like, it never clicked that there is a Jesus that wants every aspect of me because he just because he loves me, not because of the things I do. Like, he wants a relationship with me. And we can have pride like Naaman here. We can have pride and we can get kind of stuck in our own sin of just, and to a point, if you're just like me, to a point where you get into sins that you never thought you were going to get into. But it just was a simple one step after another to a point where I was full in sinful things that I would say, that is disgusting. If you are in that spot right now, I just want to say today is the time. Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't care what you have done. He doesn't care. Like, he doesn't want you to try to clean yourself up before you come to him. I didn't. And just even just thinking about it now, I get so emotional of what Jesus has done for me. Because I honestly don't know where I would be right now. If it wasn't for Jesus and it wasn't for you guys. So if you're in that spot, all Jesus says is trust and come to me. Yeah? Yeah, just come. So if you're in that spot, just tell him. Be open, be honest, pray with him. There is a second piece to that. I'll just kind of really quickly, if it says in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if right now you are kind of having that internal dialogue with him because you're thinking this, like, there's something different here. Like, there's something different going on, and I want to talk to him right now. It doesn't matter how old you are, but I want him. I want it. If you're in that, great. Just lay it all out. Lay it all out, and then go tell somebody. You don't have to tell them all the stuff you said, but go tell somebody. Confess it. That's when Jesus does the work. When we're a little bit uncomfortable, just like me standing right here. When we're just a little bit uncomfortable, that's when he does his work. So make no mistake that if you are in that spot, that today is the day. Today is the day Jesus grabbed a hold of you, tell somebody about it, and then have the church just help you. Like, go in peace. Like, that's all you need to do. Go in peace and just have the church help you walk through the next steps. What does it even mean? Where am I going? All these things that I need to deal with. It's just one step after another. So let's just pray about that. And then I'll be quiet, dude. And then it's you. It's you. Father, we just thank you so much for that. We thank you for your word. Your word, that was written so long ago, applies to us today. Same things that the people were going through in this time, we're going back in the Old Testament in your word. It all applies, Lord. I pray that the church heard my heart of what you offer, abundant life. Abundant life, and that does not mean that everything is going to go great. We're going to go through hard times. But you are the foundation that gets us through those times. You say you walk us through those times. You are with us. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless the Wednesday programs, bless the church, bring people that need you, just to need to feel and experience your grace, that there is more to life than what they see, than what is offered them through sin. And so, Father, we just thank you for this moment. I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.